I was thinking of the verse, to this man why look, he that is of a poor and contrite spirit and trembles at my word. And I think that's just a profound statement. It's in Isaiah. It's, you know, just a poor. You know, this morning at when we met, we were talking about Matthew 5, 1 to 4. And of course, the Beatitudes start, blessed are the poor in spirit, and then blessed are they that mourn are the first two. And so that, you know, that verse is a good cross reference. You know, that poor in spirit and poor and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. So again, appreciate your prayers this afternoon as we look to Scripture, as we look to God's word, and as we read, let's read out of the last book of Malachi, in the maybe you've sang the song to try to learn the books of the Bible. It's been a while since we've sang that at our house. But in the last book, Malachi, is kind of how the song goes. It talks about that. The last book is Malachi. And so it's a fascinating book. Let's read out of chapter 3. Starting at verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who shall abide the day of this coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the day of old, and as in former years. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against the false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling and his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and to them, and to turn aside the stranger from is right. And fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your father, ye have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye say, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed God? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine be cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God, and what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy, yea, they that work wickedness are set up, yea, that they that tempt God are even delivered. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Well, let's sing a hymn together. Let's sing hymn 93, Trust in God. Hymn number 93.
God, my hope and God.
Let's kneel and pray. Father, we do thank Thee for this time this afternoon. We thank Thee for Thy word, and Lord, how we can look into history past, into the life of the Jewish people, of the Israelites, and see kind of a diary of their life and the events in their nation. And Father, we're thankful for the relevance of that. We're thankful for the truths of that. And Lord, we're thankful for that Thou art a God that does not change. Father, that Thou art the same yesterday and tomorrow and today. And Father, we thank Thee for that, that Thou does not change. And Father, we're thankful that Thou art a sovereign God, a God that knows all things, a God that understands all things, an eternal God. And Father, Thou art more concerned about eternity, in a sense. I guess Thou art very concerned about life today, but Lord, Thou being an eternal God, Thou dost desire an eternal kingdom. We know that life is temporary, and Lord, that we know that all things, even here on in this life, work together for good, for Thy kingdom's sake. And Father, we know that Thou are concerned about the events of our life here, and yet, Lord, we know that heaven and earth will pass away, but Thy word and Thy kingdom will not pass away. So we're thankful for the truths, Lord, that we can learn about, even in Malachi. And Father, our desire is that we would be refined, Father, and purified by Thy Spirit and by Thy Word, and Lord, just by events in life, that we could be more like Thee, Lord Jesus. So, and we know, Lord, that Thou didst ask us to or ask the people there to return to Me, and I will return to You. So, Father, our desire is to draw near to Thee, to return to Thee, and to be close to Thee. And, Father, we ask for Thy forgiveness as we fall away in maybe thought, fall away in deed, and fall away in attitude. Father, we want to be like Thee, and we know at times we have worries, or we have fears, or we have thoughts of anger and discontentment, of jealousy. And Father, we ask Thee for Thy forgiveness, and just cleanse us by Thy blood, Lord, because we know that Thy word says that if any man sins, we have an advocate with the Father, and that's Jesus Christ the righteous. And if we confess our sins, Lord Jesus, Thou art faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So help us to draw near to Thee, Lord, and bless our time. Father, we desire to have recognize our spiritual poverty, a poor and a contrite spirit, a repentant spirit, and we desire to tremble at Thy word. So speak to us, Lord, and we love Thee. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, brother.
Well, let's read out of the book of 1 Thessalonians. Let's read out chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And let's read starting at verse 1. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For we know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any manner, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us to uncleanness, but into holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it unto all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, and that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye have lack of nothing. But I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Well, as we consider this passage in 1 Thessalonians, and as we think about the passage in Malachi, it's just encouragements to walk righteous, and to, as verse 7 says in 1 Thessalonians here, that God has not called us to uncleanness, but to holiness. You know, and this is not a new problem. This was not a problem just for the people at Thessalonica. It's not a problem for our generation exclusively, or at the time of Malachi, because if we read, as you noticed in chapter 3, verse 5, and Malachi was a contemporary of, he was one of the last books, a contemporary of Nehemiah, and, you know, if you remember at that time, they were giving into marriages with heathen women, And there was adultery and adulteresses at that time in verse 5 and back in Malachi. And I will come to you in judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers and against the false swearers, against those that oppress the hireling of his wages and the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. So, I mean, you know, it's just interesting as we read these accounts, the people at the Thessalonians had problems with purity. Today it's an issue. Certainly it seems to be getting more and more. It's an issue today. And then also it was an issue at the time of Malachi. So as we read this, how would Paul address this issue? I do think there's some practical teachings here in this passage related to that. And it's interesting too. What did Paul give the people at Thessalonica? What does it say here? I'll give you a couple minutes to look. No, not a couple minutes. Maybe a couple seconds to look. Look at the first part of this passage. What did Paul give them? What did Paul pass along to them that they could walk in not in uncleanness but in holiness? Could set the timer on my phone. You got it? No. I do use a timer on my phone a lot at school. You know, just boy, it's just so nice. Well, look at verse 2. Maybe that's where you stop. Maybe you picked up something else too. But verse 2 says, "For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus." You know, they were commandments, and Paul would take those commandments and he would teach those to others. And that's the beauty of the gospel message. And Jesus so often did that. He would just teach. And so Paul says, "I'm going to take those commands." Isn't that the Great Commission? What does the Great Commission says? Go, and that's not the most important part of that. It's as you go. It's not like it says as you go, make disciples of all nations, or it says teach all nations. Go and make disciples of all nations. Go and teach all nations is what the scripture says, and that means enroll them as learners. Go and make disciples of all nations, or go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe what? Teaching them to observe all. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. So, Jesus says, you go, and as you go, teach them all things whatever I commanded you. And so Paul says, "I've taught you," in verse 2. He's taught. "And ye know the commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus." And it could also be as Jesus revealed to Paul different things. Look at verse 3. What is the will of God? You know, certain things are a mystery. Certain parts of the will of God. You know, should I take this job? We were just talking to one of Ashley's friends this weekend. You know, should she stay at this job, or should she take another job an hour and a half away that she loves? She had done it at this hospital. Should she stay at this job, or should she go an hour and a half away? Is it worth an hour and a half drive one way for a job you love? What's the will of God? You know, and you pray for the will of God. You know, should I? And there are lots of decisions we know. You know, well, what is the will of God for me in this area? What should I do? But there's not too much confusion in verse 3, is there? "For this is the will of God. I mean, this is what God desires and what God wants, even our sanctification. You know, we need to be set apart, that ye should abstain from fornication and immorality that's so rampant in the world. So let's read this passage and talk. Just give a couple practical thoughts, hopefully. Verse 4 says, "And that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and in honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles, which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any manner, because that the Lord is an avenger of all such things, as we have forewarned you and testified. And then, of course, we know that God has called us to this. And so let's, to me, as I read through this, I think we understand the principle of holiness, but something that helps me, something practical in verse 4, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, let's go to 6, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any manner. You know, that, and that word defraud talks about stirring up desires within that cannot legitimately be satisfied. I've heard that definition. That's really a good definition. Don't stir up passions within you that cannot be legitimately satisfied. And don't defraud. Even one another. And again, I think the principle is broader here. But I like this principle, and I think it's a good thing to remember, and it's a helpful standard, if you will. You know, you say, so I'm going to broaden this principle, but again, verse 6, that no man go beyond it and don't defraud his neighbor in any manner, or his brother, or a sister. Don't defraud a brother. Don't defraud a sister. Don't defraud anyone, because the Lord is avenger of such things, if we have forewarned you and told you. And of course, I think about going back to what some of the commands of Jesus, what Jesus said. And maybe we should look at those, because we haven't got that far in memorizing them. No, I shouldn't say that. That is true. Because if we're going to memorize the Sermon on the Mount, we should know that and be able to quote it, right? I'm seeing somebody looking like, what are you talking about? Do I have to, let me explain myself. If we learn the Sermon on the Mount, we should be able to quote it. And I can't quote it right now, so I'm going to look at it. Okay, let's go to Matthew 5. And you know it. I mean, they're familiar verses. And I might be able to quote it if I got it started. But I just can't get it started. Matthew 5. Verse 28, Matthew 5:28. Oh man, I told the brothers I'm going to get done early today. This is ridiculous. It's a quarter till. I really need to fast forward, don't I? I just really need to go fast. Man, there's so many good things in Malachi, and we're just getting warmed up here. My fault. Okay, 28. But I say unto you, whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery already in his heart. Now, do you think Jesus gave that to the Thessalonians? Or Jesus? Paul. Very well, Paul could have. He said, you remember those things Jesus taught? I'm going to teach you guys. And how important is it to teach? I don't know. Sometimes it's real boring. I've got pictures on my phone of kids falling asleep while I teach. Kids are dead asleep. Right in the middle of good instruction. How can that be? How can I be a teacher when somebody falls asleep in the middle of my instruction? How important is to teach? It's very important. But you know, We have to teach as authority. We have to teach as Jesus taught. Jesus taught. And what Jesus said, he says, "Don't whoever looketh on a woman to lust after hath committed adultery already with her already in his heart. And if your right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it's profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell." Wow. I mean, that is a powerful, powerful passage. And I think the Thessalonians had that. So let's couple that with don't defraud. You know, don't stir up desires. And you can do that by different ways. And I guess, let's start with the women. You know, whoever looks on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery already with her in his heart. You know, what warning does that give? I mean, that gives a warning of dress. So, I mean, you know, we should... I think it's important that the way women dress is you bring attention to your eyes and not to your physical features. You know, I think it's important because I'd like to look at the eyes and not the physical features. You know, because women can defraud us, men. They can defraud us. And this says, don't defraud. Don't stir up desires. Well, it's a two-way street, isn't it? Then don't think about it, right? Quit thinking about it then, sir. Well, quit dressing like that, ma'am. Whose problem is it? Both. Both. They both got a problem. The woman can defraud the man by the way they dress. Don't defraud. Don't strip desires, is what the scripture says. I think it's a great principle. We have to be careful about this. And you know, I'm not gonna say, you know, this or this or this. In a sense, but the principle is don't defraud. Watch the way you dress, because it can be an issue. Watch the way now. This would be more for maybe more for I don't know what it'd be for, but watch the way you talk. You know, because talk can stir up desires. Let's say two single people are together and they're talking. You can stir up desires in another person just by the way you talk. And that's not right either. Don't defraud by the way you dress. Don't defraud by the way you talk. Anyway, it's a very broad principle. Stirring up desires. And if those desires are stirred up, what do we do? Don't do it. Did you ever hear the counselor that says, don't do it? You go to this counselor and he sits down and he says, ask advice. He just says, stop it. You know, don't do it. You know, and that, but don't do it. Just stop it. How, you know, what good advice is that? You know, you need about an hour of counseling before you say, don't do it. Then you say, don't do it at the end. So you get paid for that session. But just don't do it, in a sense, is kind of the standard. And I think that's what it says here. Don't defraud. Don't defraud by your words. Don't stir up desires that cannot legitimately be satisfied. I mean, I like that, and it's a broad thing. What you say, okay, what kind of entertainment should we watch? On our iPads, or our phones, on our computers, on a television, what should you watch? Don't defraud. That's what Paul's saying. This is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you don't go beyond and defraud in these matters. That's a good standard for me, and that's been helpful for me. Where do I cross the border? Where do I cross that line? Doesn't defraud, doesn't defraud, doesn't defraud, doesn't stir up desires, doesn't stir up desires. Oh, now it's starting to stir up. Back it up. Does that make sense? I think it does in my heart. Doesn't defraud, doesn't stir up desires, doesn't stir up desires, not a problem, not a problem. Problem, 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 problem. Push it back. push it back. Stay on this side. Stay on the side of, on the safe side. So there's no rules. I can't say, don't watch this. Don't do that. Don't dress this way. But just keep it in the safe zone. Keep it in the safe zone, I think is what Paul's saying here. And that's, and I think that then he spills out into verse 9 as touching brotherly love. Ye need not that I write unto you, for yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And other good examples. And, you know, and we so look forward to Jesus coming back, don't we? It seemed like preachers today don't preach this as much as they used to. Because when I grew up, it seemed like they were preaching Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. They preach it so, you know what the problem is? They preach it so long that we don't believe it anymore. No, that's not true. But you know what I'm saying. And that's what it, doesn't it say that in Peter? Oh, you're saying Jesus is coming back. Oh, you know, those scoffers in first, in 2 Peter chapter 3, I think through the first part, the scoffers say, oh, come on, where's Jesus coming? You guys have been saying this for 30, 40, 50 years. He's not coming. Boom, he's coming. That's when he's coming, when you think he's not coming. But we look forward to that. Isn't this exciting? Verse 16, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. This will happen one of these days. The voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together within the air, in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. We're ever going to be with the Lord. Mm. Take comfort in that. And that's what Paul says, comfort. Take comfort in those words. We can't leave Malachi alone. I may just leave it alone. We did this in Bible study one Wednesday, didn't we? I talked about just exactly the same topic. And then I read about the Rechabites. Remember that? What is that? Jeremiah 35, I think. I read it in a service and didn't get back to it. So we did it on a Wednesday night, and it was a great study. It was really a good study because people shared some awesome ideas. Very good. I still think we should go back to the Rechabites so we can review what we learned, because I forget it. Malachi, we can't forget Malachi. It's such a great book. I'm telling you. Because it's so like you and I. Because you know what you and I, what we say sometimes? If the Lord would prompt us in our heart, or if our wife would prompt us, or our husband would prompt us, and they'd say, now why are you doing that? And what do we say? What do you mean why am I doing that? Have you ever said that? What do you mean? What are you talking about? That's what they do here. They do it over and over. The Israelites do it over and over. Now we just got one part of it, and there's probably, I think there's maybe six in here. Did you hear that? Verse 8, will man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, ah, what do you mean? Where have we robbed God? Anyway, that's what the book of Malachi is it's in part. So let's save that for, let's save Malachi for another time, can we? And like I say, it's a great book. If you read through it, the people are always saying, what do you mean, God? What do you mean we've robbed you? What do you mean we do that? What do you mean? And you just kind of, but you're guilty. And I shouldn't say that, but when you say that, it probably shows your guilt. Because the next time I say that to Edie, she'll say, oh, you're guilty. I can tell. You are guilty. You're saying that again. You're saying, what do you mean? She'll say, well, you know, she'll say, I say, what do you mean by that? You're guilty, I can tell. That's probably a good thing to remember. Anyway, thanks for listening. 1 Thessalonians is a good exhortation, and it's very needed today. Listen, in the area of purity, this is what I like to think and say. It's not if we'll win, it's when we win. It's a battle. It's not if we win, it's when we win. We will win, but we've got to keep battling. Okay? Don't be weary in battling. And we will win the war. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. So take courage in that. And God has given us the tools, and it's a battle that we will win.
Well, it's been a great afternoon. We went through Malachi, and we've gone through Thessalonians. I think at the beginning of Thessalonians, it said that we are called to sanctification and honor. And Ron has taken us through this afternoon. He's gone through different topics. And I just took some cliff notes out of Malachi. I said, I am the Lord, I change not. Return to me, and I will return to you. And all nations shall call you blessed. And I will spare you as a man spareth his own son. And then at the end he says, I will come to discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. And we've just had a pleasant word here today. Both of these scriptures are a good lesson for us just to think about, and to think about where we stand and where we're headed. And then in Thessalonians, we are called to sanctification and honor, to honor that which we have known and how we have come to know the Lord. And Ron has been diligent in telling us not to defraud each other and to be true Christians with a true heart and a true caring for one another. And it's just been a really good word today, something for us to take with us in the week to go. And at the end here, we hear in Thessalonians, right? It's not if, it's when. And God clearly calls out. He says, and Jesus says here, that he's coming back. He's going to come back. At the end of this thing, Jesus stands atop everything as our Lord, as our champion, as our Redeemer, as the one that has saved us. He stands atop of this all at the end. So no matter what happens in our lives, the end has been clearly laid out. And our choices have been clearly laid out. So let's not defraud one another. Let's sing a song here. Let's ask the Lord to be with us and to honor us. I was going to thinking 385. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Or we could do 384 too. That's his eyes on the sparrow.
Pass me not. Once again, we would look to a brother to lead us in a closing prayer, please.
Dear Lord, what a privilege it is to be here today and again to sit under the sound of thy word, Lord. It is truly a blessing. It is a blessing that many of us have seen in our lives. We've had a wonderful church. We've had wonderful families. And we are just so thankful, Lord, that we are in the situation that we're in right now. And again, dear Father, we are reminded that we have to stretch out and reach out and be a light to the world. And unfortunately, that's becoming the hard part, Lord. Each and every one of us have a responsibility to reach out to our families, to reach out to our friends, to reach out to our communities, dear Father. And we have a lot of noise, and we have a lot of dislike and hatred that we have to kind of work through, Lord. And that's why we need to look to you, dear Father, always to look to you, because we cannot do it by ourselves. It's just impossible. And again, dear Father, we just pray for those who are hurting. We pray for those who need a Savior. We pray for those, Lord, who are hungry. We pray for those, Lord, who are in poverty. We pray for those who are without hope, Lord. Somehow, some way, we're looking to you, dear Father. We have our faith, Lord, and that's what we have. We just hope, dear Father, that somehow, some way, that our world can come together and that you will be the leader, Lord, and we will be your servants. Just be with us, dear Father, during the week. Keep us safe, Lord, until we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.